So imagine you pour like $1 million into this breathtaking flagship store.
Oh, right. The ultimate setup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You stock it with the most incredible inventory on the planet. You hire world-class staff. You turn on the neon open sign. And then you realize you totally forgot to connect the parking lot to the main highway.
You're just stranded in the woods.
Yeah. You are surrounded by miles of dense forest. Nobody's coming through those doors because, well, nobody even knows you exist.
It's a ghost town.
Right. And that is the exact scenario playing out for thousands of businesses online right now. You can have the best product, the most brilliant writing, the ultimate service, but without a roadmap connecting you to that digital highway, you are basically invisible.
Completely invisible.
Okay, let's unpack this because today we are looking at the mechanics of visibility. We're doing a deep dive into the 2026 curriculum from Brawley Academy, which really maps out the modern landscape of search engine optimization.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the old SEO tricks from like 2015.
Definitely not. We're looking at a highly evolved system where technical infrastructure, behavioral psychology, semantic relationships, and AI all kind of collide.
The contrast between paid traffic and organic traffic is, it's really the perfect starting point for
Oh,
this.
absolutely. Because paid traffic, like running ads on search engines or whatever, is essentially renting an audience. You put a billboard up on that highway, you get clicks right away, right?
Right. But the second your marketing budget runs dry,
The landlord takes your billboard down.
exactly, and your traffic plummets to absolute zero. What we're looking at with modern SEO is the process of owning your digital real estate. You're building your own roads.
It's a massive upfront investment, though.
Oh, totally. It requires a lot of time and structural integrity. But once you establish authority, you generate these compounding returns. You capture highly targeted users without paying a toll for every single click.
Okay, so before we figure out how to capture those users, we have to talk about how the machines actually view the internet. The Brawley research highlights three things: crawling, indexing, and ranking.
The fundamental three.
Right. And my understanding was always that search engines essentially just read the code of your site, like a giant text document. But it's way more resource intensive than that now, isn't it?
Oh, significantly more. I mean, in the early days, a bot like Googlebot would just crawl the HTML, look at the text, follow the links, and store it in an index, which is just a massive database.
Like a basic catalog.
Right. But today, the web is built heavily on JavaScript. It's dynamic. So search engines don't just read code anymore. They actually have to render the page.
Render it, like visually.
Yeah, they have to load the layout, process the scripts, and essentially view the page exactly as a human using a Chrome browser would.
Wow, that sounds exhausting for a bot.
It is. Rendering takes an immense amount of computing power. And because Google has limited resources, what we call a crawl budget, they aren't going to waste time trying to render a site that is slow, broken, or trapped in these infinite redirect loops.
So it's not a real-time internet search. It's like a massive digital library. The bots are the librarians cataloging the books, the index is the actual catalog, and the ranking algorithm decides which book gets handed to you when you ask a question.
What's fascinating here is that just because a book makes it into the catalog, that doesn't mean it goes on the front display.
Right, the ranking phase.
Exactly. The algorithms deciding what gets placed on page one have evolved from simple keyword matching to incredibly complex neural networks. We went from early updates like Panda and Penguin
Which just penalized spam, right?
to systems like RankBrain, BERT, and the 2026 Helpful Content System. These systems use natural language processing to actually understand context. They aren't looking for keywords. They're looking for comprehensive answers that satisfy human curiosity.
Okay, let me stop you there because this is where the system feels incredibly frustrating for creators.
How so?
Well, if I sit down today and write the definitive, most factually accurate, beautifully researched article on, say, quantum computing, like undeniably the best resource on the internet.
Okay. Yep.
Why doesn't that algorithm put it at the top of the search results tomorrow? Like, why does it take months to see any traffic at all?
Because the machine doesn't know who you are yet. I mean, in a world with generative AI pumping out millions of pages of synthetic content every day, a search engine cannot just take your word for it that your article is accurate.
Ah, okay. So I'm essentially untrustworthy until proven otherwise.
Exactly. You are entering what SEO professionals often call the sandbox. The algorithm needs time to verify your credentials. It monitors how the few users who do find your page actually interact with it.
Like, do they read it or leave right away?
Right. Do they stay and read? Or do they immediately bounce back to the search results?
Uh-huh.
Furthermore, it waits to see if other established, trusted entities in the physics space start referencing and linking to your work.
Trust is historical.
Yes. Trust is a historical metric. It cannot be generated overnight, no matter how brilliant the text is.
Okay, so we have to earn our way out of the sandbox. And according to the Brawley curriculum, the absolute baseline for even participating in this game is technical SEO. This is like the plumbing.
Good analogy, yeah. A plumbing.
I see tools mentioned here like XML sitemaps, which makes sense. It's a literal map of your URLs you hand to the bots. And the robots.txt file, which tells bots what not to crawl.
And a quick point on that.
Yeah.
Robots.txt is strictly for crawl management. It's not a security measure.
Yeah.
It just asks the bot nicely to look away. If you have sensitive data, you need to put it behind a password, not just in a robots file.
Oh, that's a really good public service announcement. Good to know. But where technical SEO gets really intense in this 2026 landscape is the obsession with user experience, specifically what they call Core Web Vitals.
Yeah. Core Web Vitals are basically the quantifiable metrics of digital frustration.
Digital frustration, I love that.
Google recognized that pointing a user to a highly informative page that takes like 10 seconds to load is a terrible reflection on Google. So they introduced metrics like LCP, Largest Contentful Paint.
Which is speed, basically.
Right. It measures how long it takes for the main hero image or block of text to become fully visible. Then there is INP, Interaction to Next Paint. This measures the latency when a user tries to actually do something.
Like clicking a menu.
Exactly. If I tap a drop-down menu on my phone, how many milliseconds does it take for that menu to open? If it feels sluggish, you fail.
Okay, then there is CLS, Cumulative Layout Shift. But honestly, wait, let me push back on this one. If my article is the absolute authority on a medical symptom, why should my ranking suffer just because a banner ad pushes my text down half an inch while the page is loading? Shouldn't factual accuracy always trump layout stability?
Well, think about the real-world consequence of that layout shift. You're reading an article on your phone, you go to tap a link to read more about a medication, and at that exact millisecond, an image fully renders at the top of the page.
Oh, and everything jumps down.
The text jumps down, and your finger taps an advertisement for a completely unrelated product.
Right, okay. I hate when that happens.
Everyone does. You are immediately taken away from the site. That is a terrible, highly frustrating user experience. Google tracks those micro behaviors.
They know if I get annoyed and leave.
Yep. They track if users quickly hit the back button after clicking your link. Technical SEO isn't just about making the bots happy. It's about eliminating any friction that prevents the user from consuming your content.
Which makes sense.
And because we live in a mobile-first world, Google primarily evaluates the mobile version of your site. If your desktop site is a Ferrari, but your mobile site is a broken-down tractor, Google indexes you as a tractor.
Okay, so the plumbing is flawless. The page loads instantly. Nothing shifts around. It looks great on an iPhone. We've built the house. Now we have to talk about the interior design, the on-page SEO.
Right, the actual content.
And this is where the strategy shifts dramatically from what people think SEO is. The Brawley guide emphasizes that before you write a single word, you have to decode search intent.
Search intent is everything. It's the psychological driver behind the query. If you misunderstand what the user actually wants, you could write 10,000 words and never rank.
Because you're answering the wrong question.
Exactly. The systems categorize intent into four primary buckets. Informational intent, where the user wants to learn, like how to clean a cast iron skillet.
Okay.
Navigational intent, where they know where they want to go, they just don't want to type the URL, like typing Netflix login.
Right. People do that all the time.
Then there's commercial investigation. They are comparing options, but haven't pulled out their credit card yet. Best CRM software for small business. And finally, transactional intent, where they are ready to buy right now, by iPhone 15 Pro Max.
And how does a machine learning algorithm actually figure out the difference between someone researching a phone and someone buying a phone?
Through millions of historical data points, if Google shows a list of informational blog posts for the search "Buy iPhone 15," and users just ignore the blogs to click on the one Apple Store link, the algorithm learns that this query is transactional.
Oh, wow.
If you try to rank a highly transactional product page for an informational query like history of the iPhone, the algorithm will suppress it because the intent is mismatched. You are trying to sell to someone who just wants to read.
Which brings up a fascinating concept in the curriculum, keyword cannibalization. I used to think the goal was to get as many pages on your site to rank for your main keyword as possible.
Dominate the search results,
yeah.
Right?
A lot of people still think that. But the material says this is essentially shooting yourself in the foot.
It is entirely counterproductive. Keyword cannibalization happens when you have multiple pages on your own website competing for the exact same search intent.
Give me an example.
Okay, let's say you run a camping gear site and you have three different blog posts about best winter sleeping bags. Google's bot crawls your site and gets confused. It doesn't know which of those three pages is your definitive authority on the subject.
So they cannibalize each other.
Exactly. Instead of combining their ranking power, the algorithm splits the equity. All three pages end up ranking on page three, rather than one consolidated, incredibly comprehensive page ranking in the top three spots of page one.
So consolidation is key, but what about the actual writing? Here's where it gets really interesting. Because, you know, in the dark ages of SEO, if I wanted that consolidated page to rank for winter sleeping bags, I would just type winter sleeping bags 45 times in the text.
Oh yeah, keyword stuffing.
Right. I'd put it in the H1 tag, the H2 tag, the meta description, the image alt text. But the Brawley Guide says keyword density is a myth now. We are moving into entity SEO. What exactly is an entity?
An entity is a distinct concept, a person, a place, a thing, or an idea. Historically, search engines just matched strings of letters. If you typed running shoes, it looked for pages with the letters RUNNINGSHOES.
Just exact match text.
Right. But today, Google utilizes a knowledge graph. It understands semantic relationships. It knows that the entity running shoes is intrinsically linked to other entities like marathons, pronation, Nike, blisters, and asphalt.
It's moving from strings to things.
Exactly that. So if you write an article about running shoes, but you never mention marathons, arch support, or terrain, the natural language processing model recognizes that your content lacks depth.
Because a real expert would naturally mention those things.
Bingo. You haven't covered the surrounding entities. True on-page optimization in 2026 isn't about repeating a primary keyword. It is about building a comprehensive topical map. You use secondary keywords and related concepts naturally to prove to the algorithm that you have thoroughly explored the subject.
And proving, you know, the subject ties directly into the heaviest hitter in modern content evaluation, EEAT, experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trust.
The holy grail of content.
Right. And the guide makes it clear that trust is the fulcrum. I want to look at how this actually plays out. Let's say I start a fitness and nutrition blog tomorrow. I do my entity research. My site is blazing fast. I match search intent perfectly. Why would a massive legacy site like the Mayo Clinic still outrank me on a topic like protein intake for muscle recovery?
Because the algorithm is specifically tuned to protect users when it comes to YMYL topics.
YMYL, your money or your life.
Right. If a topic impacts a user's health, financial stability, or safety, the burden of proof for EEAT skyrockets. The algorithm looks at your nutrition blog and asks, where is the author biography? Is this person a registered dietitian?
Are they qualified?
Exactly. Are there citations to peer-reviewed medical journals? Is there an SSL certificate securing the site? The Mayo Clinic has decades of accumulated signals proving their medical expertise. The machine trusts them.
And what about the experience part? That's the newest addition, right?
Yeah, experience is critical now. If you are reviewing a winter sleeping bag, Google wants evidence that you actually slept in it. They're looking for original photographs, specific details about the zipper quality, and personal anecdotes that an AI scraping the web couldn't possibly fake.
That concept of proving real-world validity expands out to other types of SEO mentioned in the curriculum too, like local SEO. If I'm searching for best digital marketing agency near me, the intent completely changes.
It does. Local SEO introduces geographic proximity as a major ranking factor. The algorithm isn't just looking at your website. It is cross-referencing your Google business profile.
Looking for consistency.
Yeah, what we call NAP consistency. Name, address, phone number. It checks that across various directories. It analyzes customer reviews to establish trust. A business could have a technically flawless website, but if their address on Yelp doesn't match their website and they have terrible reviews, Google won't recommend them to a local searcher.
Wow, so the real world and digital world have to match perfectly. And for e-commerce, it's about structuring data so the machine can actually understand your inventory, right?
Yeah, e-commerce introduces massive technical complexities like faceted navigation.
Faceted navigation.
Like when a user filters a clothing site by blue, size medium, cotton, the site dynamically generates a new URL for that exact filter combination.
Oh, I see.
Without proper technical oversight, like canonical tags, a search engine might crawl thousands of these filter URLs, assume they're all just duplicate content, and penalize the site. It requires strict parameters to tell the bot which is the master product page.
Or international SEO, too. The Brawley Guide mentions the reflong tag. Like, if you have a site in English for the US and English for the UK, you have to use a specific piece of code to tell Google, hey, these pages look identical, but show this one to people in London and this one to people in New York.
Otherwise, you trigger duplicate content filters again. It all comes back to giving the machine crystal clear context.
Okay, let's pull back. We have the flawless site, the perfectly mapped entity content, the localized signals. But in the real world, you don't become an authority just by standing in a room and declaring yourself an expert.
Right. Nobody listens to that guy.
Exactly. You need other people to vouch for you. This is off-page SEO, the digital reputation. And the currency here has always been the backlink, a link from another site to yours.
But the Brawley curriculum is very careful to clarify that not all currency holds its value. A backlink is a vote of confidence. When a highly reputable site links to you, they pass along what we call link equity.
Like an endorsement.
An endorsement that search engines weigh heavily. These are do-follow links. But manipulating this system used to be rampant. People would buy thousands of links from shady forums or comment sections to trick the algorithm.
Right. I see tools like IRFs and Moz mentioned, and people get absolutely obsessed with checking their domain rating or domain authority. They think if they can artificially inflate that score, they win.
That is one of the most dangerous traps in SEO. Domain authority, DA, and domain rating, DR, are third-party metrics. Google does not look at your Moz DA score to decide where to rank you.
Wait, really? People treat those numbers like gospel.
They do, but Google has its own internal hidden metrics. Those third-party tools are simply trying to estimate the strength of your backlink profile. If we connect this to the bigger picture, if you go out and buy 5,000 toxic backlinks from a link farm, your third-party DA score might temporarily shoot up. But Google's Penguin algorithm, which operates in real time, will immediately recognize the unnatural pattern.
And then you're done.
Yep. Not only will those links provide zero equity, but Google might apply a manual action and remove your entire site from the search results.
The guy does mention the Google disavow tool for dealing with toxic links. Should we be constantly policing our backlink profile and disavowing every spammy link we find?
Absolutely not. The curriculum stresses that the disavow tool is a last resort. Typically reserved for malicious, negative SEO attacks.
Where a competitor attacks you.
Right, meaning a competitor is deliberately blasting your site with thousands of spam links to get you penalized. In normal circumstances, Google's machine learning is smart enough to simply ignore low-quality links.
So what's the actual strategy then?
True off-page SEO in 2026 isn't about gaming the system. It's about digital PR. It's creating original research, conducting surveys, or building interactive tools that journalists and industry leaders naturally want to reference. One single earned link from a respected university is worth infinitely more than thousands of engineered links from obscure blogs.
So we've built the engine, the content is authoritative, the tech is pristine, we're earning genuine PR. Now we need the dashboard to see if the engine is actually moving the car forward.
Time for an SEO audit.
Exactly. And the Brawley materials highlight a critical distinction in the SEO toolbox, the difference between Google Search Console and Google Analytics 4. I like to think of it as the front door versus the security cameras inside the house.
That analogy perfectly captures their distinct roles. Google Search Console, or GSC, is your direct line of communication with the algorithm. It shows you the front door.
Like, are you even showing up?
Are you even showing up in search results? GSC tells you your impressions, how many times your link appeared on a user's screen. It tells you your click-through rate, your average ranking position, and crucially, it flags technical errors.
The plumbing issues.
Right. It will warn you if a page isn't indexed, if your core web vitals are failing, or if a redirect is broken. It is strictly about how Google sees your site.
And once they turn the handle and walk through the door, GSC's job is done. That's where Google Analytics 4 takes over.
GA4 tracks human behavior. Once they land, where do they go? GA4 breaks down user acquisition. Like, how did this person find you initially versus traffic acquisition? How do they get to this specific session?
Okay, that's a good distinction.
It measures engagement time, scrolling behavior, and ultimately conversions. Did they fill out the lead form? Did they buy the sleeping bag? To run a successful SEO audit, you have to look at both.
So you cross-reference them.
Yeah. If you see a massive drop in revenue in GA4, you jump to GSC. Did your impressions drop because an algorithm update pushed you to page 2? Or are your impressions the same, but your click-through rate dropped because a competitor wrote a better meta description? You use the data to isolate the variable.
And isolating variables is going to become significantly harder as we look toward the future. The final section of this deep dive deals with 2026 trends. We are moving into the era of generative engine optimization, or GEO, and answer engine optimization, AEO.
The integration of large language models directly into the search results.
This is the paradigm shift. Search is evolving from a directory that hands you a list of 10 blue links into an assistant that synthesizes the answer right at the top of the page. AI overviews and LLM-driven responses are just completely changing the visual real estate of the internet.
It really is a whole new world.
So here is the existential dread that every digital publisher is facing right now. If I spend 50 hours writing a deeply researched, heavily formatted article, and an AI just reads it, summarizes it into 3 bullet points, and shows it to the user without them ever clicking my link, isn't the whole concept of organic traffic dead? Aren't we just doing unpaid labor to train the AI?
This raises an important question, and honestly, the anxiety is completely justified. But the mechanics of how these systems work offer a lifeline. AI models hallucinate.
They make things up.
Exactly. They don't generate facts out of the ether. They require highly structured, definitively authoritative sources to pull their summaries from. The optimization strategy just shifts.
Oh, so?
You implement robust schema markup, specifically FAQ and organizational schema, to feed your data to the AI in a format it easily digests. You double down on entity SEO so the machine recognizes your brand as the node of authority for a given topic.
So you become the source.
Right. Yes, for simple informational queries like what temperature does water boil, zero-click searches will dominate. Traffic for basic facts will vanish. But for complex commercial decisions, deep investigative research, or nuanced opinions, users still fundamentally need to verify the source.
They need the human element. They need the experience part of EEA.
Exactly. The websites that establish themselves as the definitive entity, the absolute source of truth, will be cited within those AI responses. It is a shift from chasing raw traffic volume to capturing absolute authority. If you own the authority, you control the narrative, regardless of whether the user reads it on a web page or in an AI summary.
It requires a total mental reset. SEO is no longer a checklist of hacks to trick a bot into sending you clicks. It is a holistic discipline. It demands flawless technical architecture, content that genuinely answers human intent, real-world digital PR, and the agility to structure your data for the AI age.
You aren't renting space. You are building an empire.
And as we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final concept to mull over. As search engines complete their metamorphosis into answer engines and generative summaries become the primary way we consume information, will the future currency of the web shift entirely away from the click? If your brand becomes the unseen, foundational source of truth powering the world's AI, how will you measure and monetize that influence in a zero-click world? Something to think about as you build your digital real estate. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.